For many people, Lent would not be complete without something to give up, something they give up. I've told people that I'm giving up vegetables and sit-ups for Lent, and I get told quite firmly that it has to be something you actually like. It's not fair, is the implication, if it's not something that tempts you in the first place. So what do you find tempting? And more importantly, why is it tempting you? Perhaps winning the lottery or some other windfall of wealth tempts you because it seems to guarantee security. Or perhaps getting a promotion or becoming an officer in an organization tempts you because of the control that it seems to bring when you are fear being told by other people what to do. The power of temptation is rooted in our fears and our insecurities. Have you noticed how the advertisers have noted that and responded to it? It used to be that they talked about the quality of their product, how well it worked, the mental, informational hook. Secret, it's strong enough for a man but made for a woman. And then they went on to tried celebrity endorsements, the logical hook. Well, if a famous person that I trust says that it's good, then for me to be like them, then I should use it. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. But recently, the ads have become scenes of happy, contented people sitting by fires or playing in the snow, at yard sales with cute geckos. Ads that, until you're told what they're for, you really have no idea what they're advertising. These ads make a promise that's less about the quality of the product and more about an imagined lifestyle that owning that product can somehow provide security, friends, a sense of well-being. They tempt you to believe that by owning this kind of car or using that kind of computer or insurance, we'll discover our identity and move closer to having that meaningful life that the ad shows. You'd think that we would find such advertising completely ludicrous. How can using a particular laptop or a cell service enhance your sense of self-worth? Yet, the research that the ad companies are investing millions of dollars in believing suggests that we are so starved for a sense of meaning and purpose that we make many of our purchasing decisions in the hope that the story that they're telling us is true. The implication that we will feel less alone, less incomplete, and more whole if we simply buy their products. And our spending shows that we believe the story that they're telling us, that we believe that that story's true. And how incredibly sad it is for us as a people that we are so insecure and fearful that we can be tempted by offers of anything, no matter how manipulative the vehicle is, anything that holds the promise of a secure identity rooted in well-being, that we will be loved, accepted, and happy. That is what the devil is going after when Jesus is tempted and when we're tempted. The devil seeks to undermine Jesus' confidence in God and himself. God has told Jesus in his baptism, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am pleased. The devil comes and says, if you're the Son of God, and then proceeds to tempt him to test that identity, to tempt Jesus to question and doubt God's word. And the devil has the audacity to use God's word as part of the temptation. And we think the ad companies are shameless. And Jesus throws it right back at the devil. It's not so much that Jesus quotes scripture to deflect the temptation as it is that Jesus finds in scripture the words that give voice to his trust. Because at the heart of Jesus' reply is Jesus' absolute trust in and dependence on God for his identity and future and value and worth. He's saying that he trusts God for his identity completely and doesn't need to test God's promise that he's already pleasing to God. And he doesn't have to prove anything to anyone else, including to the devil or to himself. The temptations that we talk about beckoning us are imaged as something that we want to run toward, to our desires, but they're actually temptations to run away from our relationship with God and the identity that we receive in and through that relationship. Jesus shows us in this story the key to resisting temptation is finding our identity in our relationship with God. As we remember that in baptism, God confers on us our essential identity as beloved children, just as God did for Jesus. And when we remember that, we may be less likely to succumb to the various pressures that seek to tempt us. It'd be nice to think of resisting a temptation as once and done. That once we've embraced our identity as beloved children of God, we no longer have any fears or insecurities again. Nothing that will ever again tempt us to turn to something else to save us. But that's not so, not even for Jesus. The story tells us that the devil left him until an opportune time. And later in Luke's story, we hear about these times when the devil comes again to tempt Jesus to take a shortcut to glory and avoid the cross. In Gethsemane, he wrestles with that temptation. And again on the cross, he's tempted to take a shortcut about his identity and trust in God when they're questioned. At the foot of the cross, the mockers say, "If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." And Jesus certainly could have. But he trusted even in that moment that God knew what God was doing even then, and secure in his identity as God's beloved son, he was able to not fear, to let go of fear, let go of insecurity, not be tempted. God's beloved children are always being tested the same way, tempted to doubt that identity, tempted to not trust God. God's people Israel in the ancient wilderness built the golden calf when they thought that Moses might not come down off the mountain. They tried to save the manna bread just in case God didn't send it the next day. And even Moses lost his trust in God's promise and ended up not being able to enter the promised land. God called them again and again to remember their identity as God's people. And us, in our various wilderness times, we're confronted with the same temptation. It's never once and done. Just because we've survived past temptations doesn't mean that the devil won't try again. You may remember that Mother Teresa wrote about her struggles in the wilderness of her work in desperately poor and sick people in India, and the struggle she had to remain faithful to her trust in God in the face of such despair. Even people who are strengthened through their deep lives of prayer are repeatedly tempted to doubt their identity and give in to their fears and insecurities. Prayer and fasting and focusing on your relationship with God, sorry, it doesn't protect you from temptation any more than it did Moses or Jesus or Mother Teresa. But those things do give us strength for those times when we wrestle with temptation, the temptation to doubt God's presence and love and good intention toward us. Lent is a reminder to keep strong our relationship with God so that when we're not in the wilderness, not looking for God, in those times, we can resist the insidious temptations to trust the world, to provide our identity and our security. God has said to you, you are enough. You don't need other validation. You can rest securely in me. And for that we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.